I'm of the opinion that it's a great blessing for our church and an opportunity that we have to open up our building on Thursday evenings for AA and Al-Anon meetings. I actually came by the church this past Thursday, and the parking lot was full of cars, and I'm assuming that's what it was for. And I've had the blessing of getting to share a prayer before the meal each December when the AA communities from this region come together and have their annual celebration. And I remember when Lauren and I, we for a counseling class that she had in seminary, we attended an open AA meeting, and that was the first one I had been to. And I remember just really being struck by the power of the community there, and thinking to myself, in so many ways, this is what I want our church communities to be like. And I think there were two really important qualities of the community that I've experienced, and I think the ideal AA, Al-Anon, or church community take into consideration and live out together. Two important qualities of a community, of a sponsor, of a supporter in any of these situations. And the first is honesty. The first stage in any kind of change in any person's life or the life of any community is to acknowledge that there's a problem, to come to a recognition of the reality that there's something that's not right, something that needs to be changed. And I just love in my experience of the AA community, that honesty, that just recognition that, you know, what do you stand up and you say, my name is, and I'm an alcoholic, you know, like, it's just out there, and we're honest about it. Not in a condemning way, of course, but just a recognition of a problem and taking responsibility for this reality. And the second important quality of these communities and anyone who wants to support someone who's struggling in these areas is celebration. Celebration. When you talk to someone who's in recovery with alcoholism, they always know how many days, how many months, how many years it has been that they've been sober, and they know how to celebrate. And, you know, I know we host one meal of an annual celebration for the AA communities, and I've heard that there are a bunch of them in all these different locations. They kind of all go around and celebrate at the end of the year, and that's a key component to these communities. That they, on one hand, this ability to be honest and just real. And on the other hand, or the other side of the coin, is that they celebrate the success. And in this case, this is the kind of community I think Jesus is forming. And in some ways, we see that in his interactions with Peter in these 10 or 11 verses that we just read. It's almost like, you know, for one extreme and another, right? And it's just funny how in these verses, Jesus is celebrating Peter. And in these next verses, Jesus says, you know, get behind me, Satan. And we see in the first case, it's because Peter is responding to what God has revealed to him. I mean, and listen to Jesus celebrate this in Peter. You know, he asks his disciples, who am I? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, listen to this celebration, answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now that is a celebration of someone who is responding to God and what God has revealed. But Jesus is also honest. And when Jesus says, okay, the way to this kingdom is I'm gonna die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die on a cross so I can be raised up again. And Peter jumps in and basically says, Jesus, no, take the easy way. You don't have to do that. Take the easy way. And Jesus is honest with Peter. He says, no. While just a moment ago, you were thinking the thoughts of God and speaking them. now you're thinking kind of your own selfish thoughts and humanly formed thoughts about what is good and what is right. And Jesus is honest with Peter. And I think this is a picture of how we live in community together. And that's what we've talked about. That 1 Corinthians 13, as we've spent weeks with it, is a guide for our community. It's about how to live together. And love is, as we see today, a journey towards Christ-likeness with company. The verse we're focusing on right here is that love does not rejoice in wrongdoing or unrighteousness or injustice, is that word. Love does not rejoice in injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love is a journey towards Christ-likeness with company. And so the first part of that is that love laments sin. And when we talk about sin, we're not talking about some arbitrary list of rules that we either break or we don't break. We're talking about what God has said. These are things that destroy our relationships with ourselves and with others and with God and with the world, the creation. That's what sin is. So when God says something is not good, that's why. Because it hinders community, it hinders communion, it hinders relationship. And the Corinthians are struggling with sin in all kinds of areas, and Paul acknowledges this to them and is honest with them. In 1 Corinthians 5, we see that the Corinthians are struggling with expressions of their sexuality that are not in keeping with what God and makes for a good community. It says that one man sleeps with his father's wife. And that's not necessarily his mother in this case, but it's still, Paul says, this is not a good thing. And they're not just doing it, they're celebrating it, and they're celebrating their sexual freedom and their ability to do this and live like this and do what they want. And Paul says, that's not good. And in 1 Corinthians 11, he talks to them about communion, and I'll just read this to you about their worship gatherings. He says, "Now in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Indeed, there have become factions among you. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes away hungry, and another becomes drunk." And what's happening in the Corinthian community is that the wealthier Christians can get off work early. So they come and they have a big feast and they bring all their food and drink, and it says, you know, they become drunk. They're just satiated on all their food and drink. And then the poorer folks who can't get off work early and have to work later, they come later and they're starving. He says, that's not how this community works. And in some ways, the Corinthians are celebrating that. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, we're talking about the gifts that they have, the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues and prophecy and all these things. And he says, you're not using them to build others up. You're using them to divide yourselves and to say, well, look at me. Look at the gifts I have. And why don't you have those gifts? And I'm a better Christian. I'm a more gifted person than you. He says, none of these things. You're not just involved in them, but you're celebrating these practices that are divisive and unjust. And these are diseases for your community. And Paul points it out. And he laments it. And he just brings it out into the open. Again, not just that they're not just like breaking rules. He's saying this is not what Jesus is about. These things are not good for community. This is not what love is. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing or unrighteousness or injustice. In our culture, sometimes we have this definition of love, that love means celebrating everything about someone else. And just love means telling someone they're perfect and everything is okay. And that's not love. Because not everything is okay. And we know that, I think, right? We know that we're not perfect. We know that we don't love as fully as Jesus loves, or as fully as God has loved us. And so, in a community together, we're only hindering our community by not being willing to call sin what it is. It is not love to not acknowledge the things that keep us from living fully into God's love and being like Jesus. So we must be able to speak to personal and interpersonal and societal sins. And sometimes we divide ourselves into the groups that only talk about personal morality and the groups that talk about social injustice. And we need to be able to speak to all of those from inside out. And it's important that we begin with ourselves and are willing to take an honest look at what's in our heart and our soul and the things that are keeping us from really relating to God and to others and to the creation well. And it's important that we then are able to be in Christ-centered relationships. Yeah, cell phones, those are seriously divisive to community. No, I'm kidding. That is not what Paul is talking about at all. But we need to be able to then have Christ-centered relationships where we can be honest with one another. Sometimes I don't see. We have a phrase called blind spots, right? A blind spot means there's something about me that I don't really see, and we need other people to say, hey, look, have you noticed this in your life? And we need to be able to engage in our society, in our culture, and be able to say, you know, these are things that are not good for our city and for our neighborhood and for our country and for our world. But we do that as co-journeyers. Not as people standing outside and condemning, but as people who are walking with and journeying with. You see, Paul, when he responds to all of these things in the Corinthian community, this letter is really a response to a letter that they wrote him with a bunch of questions. And so Paul isn't just, you know, trying to blame them and condemn them. In fact, he praises a lot of their community, but he's responding to their questions. He's in relationship with them. He's journeying with them. We also have to realize, as we're honest about sin, that it's not always our place to share that with someone. We don't have to point out everything that we see in everyone around us, right? But when we can be partners with someone, when we can do this humbly, recognizing that we're journeying together, when we can do this as helpers, when we can do this in love, we need to do it. We need to be honest with one another. We need to speak the truth in love, as Paul says in Ephesians 14. It says, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. He's talking about our community. For our community to grow, we need to be able to speak the truth and do it in love. Because if we aren't able to lament and recognize the problem, we will never be able to celebrate progress on the journey. And that's the other part of it. Love celebrates. Love rejoices in the truth. In this case, truth is not just a philosophical thing. It's a faithfulness to the ways of God that we celebrate. Now, some communities only focus on sin. I don't know if you've been a part of some of those communities that it's just wherever you go, it's this is what's wrong and you shouldn't do this way or that way. And some communities only focus, and some families only focus on what's wrong. Some parents sometimes, we only focus on what's wrong because we just coast along until something annoys us or bugs us and then we point it out, right? Some communities are like that, but that's not what love does. Communities that only focus on sin also don't move towards Christ. Love celebrates in the truth. And so community is hard. Honesty is hard. But it's also joyful. And so this word here that says, but rejoices in the truth, it actually, I think, my personal best translation is co-celebrates. Co-rejoices in the truth. This word for rejoice has a word that means with, attached to it. It's about being co-celebrators on this journey. It's like walking down this path towards Christ, giving each other high fives or hugs or pats on the back or Facebook likes or whatever you want to do to celebrate truth and progress and goodness. This is what we do together. We're co-celebrators on this journey towards Christ. We get to see one another if we're willing to enter into community. We're able to see one another grow into Christ-likeness, become more patient and loving and joyful, become more deeply human. So what do you celebrate? in the people that you love? How do you co-celebrate with them? What do you give them high fives for? I know in my house growing up, we celebrated birthdays, of course, and good report cards and sporting moments, but do you celebrate the moments when you see compassion being lived out in someone else and kindness, when you see them being patient? Sometimes we don't notice patience. I recognize that. When someone is being a peacemaker, do we celebrate those things? When someone exercises courage and faith, are we celebrating those things together? Do we even in our church know one another well enough to be able to celebrate progress in our journey towards Christ? It seems to be kind of a pendulum in the church, almost. That we kind of swing from being really harsh on sin on one hand to kind of preaching the self-esteem gospel where everything's good and you're awesome and we're all awesome and on these two extremes. And I think Paul is suggesting, and the gospel says, that there's actually a third way, another way. It's not an either or, that we either make people feel bad or act like people have everything, everything's perfect. There's another way, and that's called Christian community. That's called the church, where we are honestly and humbly journeying together. It's easier to avoid this kind of community. It's easier not to have relationships where people tell us and point out our blind spots. And sometimes it's easier not to have to do that to other people. It's easier to avoid that kind of community. But when we avoid a community that isn't willing to lament sin, we also don't get to be a part of a community that's able to really celebrate joy as we move more fully and deeply into the life of Christ. Let's pray. God, sometimes it's hard to thank you, but we thank you for the ways that you love us, even as you point out the things in our lives that need growth and change and transformation and forgiveness. And we know it's love, God, because you don't just leave us there, but you walk with us and you celebrate as our lives more fully come to mirror your love. And I pray that you would bless this community, that you would help us to journey together, where we can humbly be honest with each other, and we can take our time to notice and celebrate the ways that you are moving among us. Thank you, God, for loving us like this, and help us to love each other like this. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.